B-Pod Studios.
Cast NBC Sports Boston. Jim Murray in the A-hole chair.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons near midcourt. And Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose to nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's one.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, and Bede's going to be led in the other direction.
Not sure what happened there.
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
We might be able to get a replay. Where was it? And Bede came and pushed Marcus down first.
Okay.
And then Marcus retaliated.
And knocked Embiid down from behind. So Embiid knocked Marcus down first.
Hostile act.
Oh my God. Just ejected Marcus Smart.
Felger and Mez, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Murray and Arkan in for the guys today. Got Tim McCone alongside as well. So that, of course, the call of Marcus Smart getting ejected in the Celtics' eventual loss to the 76ers the other night there. And what did you make of this, Arkan? You weren't one of these people that defended that, right?
No, it was so dumb. Okay. I heard you talking about it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, I just really, like, it's one thing to stand up for your teammates, one thing to stand up for yourself. It's another thing when after a dirty pit. It's not like it was a clean play or anything by Embiid. He chicken winged him, sure. But then he turned his back and Marcus Smart bum rushes him from behind. At least let the guy square up if you're going to go do something like that, if you really want to get serious about it. And instead he gives him this cheap push from behind, and Embiid sold it, sure. But not only that, everyone talks about, oh, it gave the crowd this big boost, and oh, that ended up, you know, carrying them to the end. That wasn't the problem I had. The problem I had is that Marcus Smart was guarding Jimmy Butler in that game,
yeah.
And then Butler had 15 freaking points in the fourth quarter with no one able to stop him. I mean, that was the problem. They needed him out there.
That was my thing yesterday. And I know who you're alluding to, because it was Adam Jones yesterday who said it was about the crowd. They pumped up the crowd, which in turn helped pump up the 76ers. No, the proof was right there with Jimmy Butler and what happened in the fourth quarter, because Smart was doing such a good job on him in that first half before he got ejected. And for him to go off the way he did for 15 points, it was such ultimately a stupid decision. But bare knuckle McCone over there loved it. In terms of, like, you know, he at least cares.
Look, this team is just hasn't played with an edge all season long, and I understand. Yeah, it was a dumb thing to do, but honestly, I'd rather
all
have a guy.
All season long is the third time Smart's been ejected. How can you say that?
No, as a team, I think. Would you agree that this whole season that the Celtics haven't exactly played with an edge that we've been accustomed to seeing, especially in those early Brad Stevens teams?
In terms of, like, fighting people?
No, in terms of just, like, actually looking like they care, rather than coming out pregame before the 76ers and going, I'm definitely going to take games off down the stretch here. Absolutely. We're the five.
What happened to Marcus
already.
Smart after he shoved Joel Embiid?
Right. How about playing
the rest of the game off.
Yeah, but how about playing some inspired basketball and rallying around your teammate afterwards? And I'd rather have a guy that plays with an edge and crosses the line than a team that is just kind of like, meh, well, let's see what happens.
That's well and good, but in a game like that against a team that you're still trying to catch in the standings in their arena, to lose Marcus Smart like that when he's the only guy who can stop Jimmy Butler, and by the way, you were up 11 points at the time.
Yeah, right, you're up 11 points, you have two max players and two top three draft picks on your team. You still have 10. Didn't we come into the season saying this is the most talented team in the Eastern Conference?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I just, losing Marcus Smart's that big of a difference?
How'd it work out for him?
Obviously not well.
So then why do you like it?
Because I'd rather have a team that plays with an edge than a team that doesn't. And Marcus Smart's the one guy that plays with an edge. And it would have been nice if it kind of ignited the rest of the Boston Celtics and they rallied around something like that. Instead, it was what we've seen all season, and they just packed it in.
Morris plays with an edge.
Really, it's because
he also isn't good. That's the issue there, yeah.
Neither's Smart.
As we found out over the last couple of days, McCone's just waiting for someone to give him a stink eye. And the next thing you know, you've been bottled over the head.
Next time Sarge has headlines, yeah, just right in the back.
Bill in Framingham, you're next here on an Agenda-Free Friday. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jim. Let's say it's a foregone conclusion that this video evidence against Bob Kraft is definitely going to come out one way or another, TMZ or however.
Fingers crossed.
It's going to come out. Now, that would leave his legacy kind of destroyed. He'd be humiliated. But on the other side is now the NFL. What if Bob Kraft, at that point, being 77, and he's going to give it to Jonathan Kraft anyway, just say, you know what? Here's the whole thing. Jonathan Kraft is now the New England Patriots. Now the NFL, they don't have to listen to 81 women's groups yelling at him. They don't have to make a big stink about it. All they have to say is he sold the team. And then on Sunday, Bob Kraft can sit right next to Jonathan Kraft because they can't. Jonathan Kraft's the owner, and he can have Bob Kraft there anytime he wants.
So ultimately, and thanks for the call, Bill. Ultimately, I'm going to let you go on that. What he's getting at is should the transfer happen sooner than later because of this whole situation going on with Robert Kraft? I mean, you can make an argument for it. We took, actually, I think, a couple of calls on this very thing yesterday. I just don't think that Robert Kraft wants to have to do that. I think this is one of the reasons he's fighting it so vehemently.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the tape. I think the tape's the most important thing. He doesn't want to deal with the embarrassment of that thing seeing the light of day. But it's not like he's ready to walk away. And this is one of the things. I don't look at him as being stubborn for doing that, you know, acting that way either.
I think he kind of is. I mean, he got enough money. You don't really have to be the figurehead. It's like, here's my thing with Kraft is that he's not really making these kind of decisions. Jonathan already is, right? Like, that's what everyone says, and that's what people close to the team who I talk to sort of say anyway. Yeah, it's really Jonathan who's doing all this stuff. So really, Robert's just the figurehead. He's just like the face. He's the guy, you know, he's the owner. There he is, and really everybody else is sort of doing the work behind them. Once that face is blemished, which this clearly will be, once that video drops, and even before that, I mean, I think it's already taken its toll. Why not just do that and move on and wait for people to sort of forget about it and then reemerge? And if you want to, you know, take back some control or be, you know, present there at the games and up in the box, you can do that. I don't think anyone's going to get that upset about it. But, you know, you sort of have to let it breathe a little bit, don't you? Don't you have to sort of disappear for at least a little while if you want this to blow over?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Isn't that the joy of owning a professional sports team, though?
Yeah.
Is to be the big swinging D?
Absolutely.
Probably the wrong analogy.
Definitely the wrong analogy.
But I mean, that's, you want to be the face of the whole thing, right? If I was an owner of a team, I'd show up to every game in a robe. The plushest of robes, too. Cigar, big chariot. Oh, it'd be great. Ryan in South Boston on Marcus Smart's ejection. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jim. So I agree with McCone a lot on this one because we're not going to catch the 76ers for the 3 seed.
Not now.
Obvious. Yeah, well, we were still 3 games back. If we won that game, we would have been 2 games back with 10 games to go. I don't see us catching them no matter what. I think it was huge for Marcus Smart to kind of breathe a little bit of life into this team and give them a little bit of an edge heading into the playoffs because, you know, we're going to see these guys later on in the playoffs, and we're going to need to have a little bit of an edge against these guys if we play against them.
All right, Ryan, it's you and McCone, the Green Street Hooligans. You're just ready, yeah, like, let's go, get in the pit, come on, yeah, throw elbows, we get it. I can understand where you're coming from. At least it showed like he cared, and in the moment, I said yesterday, I was like a big dumb man, I'm like, yeah, I also was like, yeah, get in the pit, like, get him, Marcus, and I realized, oh, that's going to come back and bite him in the ass, and it did. One open phone line you want to join is 617-779-0985. It is an Agenda-Free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Let's go to Devin in Melrose with a Patriots thought. Hey, Devin.
Hey, Jim. What's going on? I just had a quick thought on the Patriots quarterback backup situation. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, Brady's got obviously a couple more years left on his contract, but and the trade's going on with Josh Rosen and whatnot. I'd honestly wait maybe 1 or 2 years to wait for Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm to come out of that draft. I don't really know what they're going to have to give up to trade up to get him, but the way he's been playing down in Georgia, I know they laid an egg in the SEC championship game and the national championship a couple of years back, but Jake Fromm just looks legit, knows how to play call, and, you know, Bill Belichick loves Georgia boys. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Devin, unless he turns into a pumpkin this coming season, he's going to probably be the number two pick. And that depends on the year that Tua has in Alabama. Like, he's going to be one of the top, at worst, like five picks in next year's NFL draft. So they would have to have a terrible season or have to make a giant trade to go get Jake Fromm. The guy that, I mean, like, it's the kid at Clemson.
Trevor Lawrence.
That's the most lock stock, like, you can't miss quarterback coming into the NFL draft since Andrew Luck in a couple of years. Those guys next year, like, Fromm's look good. Tua at times look good, too. No, that's who you want a couple of years. Can the Patriots get him? Unlikely, unless they would have to tank for him, and I don't want to see that have to happen. Let's go to Zach in the car with a Bruins thought. Hey, Zach. Hello.
All right, so Torrey Krug is not doing well in terms of plus-minus if you look at it. Torrey Krug's plus-minus this year, he's the only person worse than him on the team is Steven Kampfer, and Grizzlick has throughout his career, has a better plus-minus than Krug with playing a third of the games. Do you think it's worth benching him for a few to see if that sparks anything? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Zach. Look, I think we all can...
Krug's been injured. I mean, he hasn't played in these last two games. Clifton's played great.
I think we all can agree, though, that he, for the most part, can be a defensive liability. You need what he brings to the game in terms of the offense. You know what he means in the power play. Like, no, they're not better off without Torrey Krug. We were dealing with this yesterday because that hypothetical that was written about by Joe Haggerty, that got mocked about by...
flamed by Brad Marchand.
Brad Marchand on Twitter for... we know what his deficiencies are defensively, but no, overall, are they better without him? Of course not.
No, they're playing, you know, and Clifton's a tough kid, by the way, so and I've really liked what I saw from him the last two games. But this team is very reliant on scoring on their power play, along with their top line. And I think that if you just were to remove Torrey Krug from that equation, you want to explore doing stuff with him in the offseason and maybe trading him or something along those lines. That's a different story. But right now, I mean, listen, Krug brings a lot to the table still. Is he a great defenseman? No, but he can do a lot of things that I think, you know, you'd like to have there in your D pairing somewhere. It doesn't have to be up at the top, but you still want them around.
It being an agenda-free Friday, like I said, we'll take calls on pretty much anything. So this was something I was yammering on about earlier this week. That would be Woodstock 50, which I want no part of. Wayne and Grafton, hello.
I can't believe you don't want to go to Woodstock and bond in a field with a bunch of millennials. You know, I'm an older guy. I remember there was only one Woodstock. That was the first one. I mean, I wasn't there. If I go to a concert, I want to have some beers, sit in nice seats, and enjoy it. And, oh, guys, just for the record, you know I'm an older guy. I think I'm going to go celibate for a month. I'm just going to super glue my hands together. Peace out.
Thank you very much for the call, Wayne. That, I think, in regard to the news of the day in the NFL, which I think, and this was my opening take today.
Oh, right.
It proves the popularity of the NFL in that Cam Newton said he's going to go celibate for a month to get his mind clear. And it's everywhere. It's the biggest news in the NFL today. It's all up in your social media feed. Cam Newton going celibate for a month.
So wait, does that start in April, or has he been doing it in March, and now it's almost over?
I can't speak to that. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I wonder there.
I don't know. But I can tell you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a fallacy. And on Woodstock and festivals, no, they're not for me. And I can't imagine a bigger hell than having to go to a festival and have to camp there for 3 days. And it's just the worst. All right, we're going to pause here for the sports of headlines from Tim McCone. We did have an upset in the making here in the NCAA tournament. Not done yet, but he's going to give you the latest on what's going on with Virginia. And what's the name of this school, McCone?
Gardner Webb.
Oh, yeah. Yes, a school and also the guy in IT in your company. So he'll give you the latest on that and the big news on Chris Sale today. So we'll get you caught up here in the Sports Hub headlines and then right back to you here on Agenda Free Friday. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It is Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports of simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Jim Murray and Christian Arcan in for the guys.
today. We have Tim McCohen alongside as well. Just want to give you a heads up, because normally around this time, the 4 o'clock hour, it's Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe that joins Felgram as for his usual weekly segment.
Yeah, where's Gasper?
He's on his way back from vacation, but he will be with me tomorrow. For Gasper and Murray here on the Sports Hub from 11 to 2. So he at least will be back for that. So please do tune in. In the meantime, to you we go, it being an agenda-free Friday, pretty much whatever you'd like to discuss. Doesn't necessarily have to be about sports either. I know Mike, you know, Mike is firm but fair about that. Like, talk sports. Really, whatever you'd like to discuss, within reason, at 617-779-0985. Like, don't call about NASCAR. I really couldn't care less. Dean in Shrewsbury with the Bruins thought, hey, Dean.
Hi, Krejci led the playoffs in points in both of the Bruins Cup runs in 11 and 13. Do you guys still think he has that switch to turn?
Well, Dean, I'll ask you, based on the season that he's had, don't you feel pretty confident about him having that kind of a postseason?
Well, I haven't been watching closely, actually. I'm more of a Celtics guy, but I was hoping you guys could enlighten me what I should look forward to the playoffs.
Dean? You should feel pretty confident because David Krejci has had an awesome season, especially the second half, and he looks completely rejuvenated, especially when he's had David Pastrnak on his line. Granted, he's been back now from the injury. They put him on the first line to get the rust off. I think you can feel pretty good about David Krejci going into the postseason right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's sort of when he shines. I know we're talking about things that happened 6 and 8 years ago, but you know, even in the last couple of seasons in their playoffs, I felt like Krejci was never really, you know, never a problem for them or a guy that they had to worry about. I'm sort of more concerned about that whole line in general. Like Jake DeBrusque on the left has been great. They've had sort of a revolving door over there on the right, and David Krejci, for all the, you know, good things he's done this season, I think in the past couple of years anyway, that second line has sort of suffered, and in the regular season anyway, but not this year. So you know, maybe this is it. What I'm more concerned about is David Krejci being, you know, rested and ready to go, because he's another guy who runs out of gas at times, and I'd hate to see that this year.
How are you – what's your feeling on this team? Because I'm still, like, if I had the whistle, toot-toot, all aboard the Bees train, and I know it's been a little bit more up and down here the last few weeks, but I still feel pretty bullish about them making a deep run here, because they've withstood a lot here, especially this whole season in terms of injuries and whatnot. Just it's got a feel of a really tough team. And it feels like they, you know, just in stuff I read, and when I read Ty Anderson at the Sports Hub, like he's around them a bunch covering them, like they feel like a tight-knit group. Usually you see those type of teams go pretty far in the NHL playoffs. So I believe in them. I know Jones doesn't. Do you?
I do, in the sense that if I had to pick them right now, I'd still probably pick Tampa in the second round. I don't think that they're better than Tampa by any means, but I think they can beat Toronto. Toronto doesn't have great D-men. They don't have a great goaltender. And I think if the Bruins get hot and Tuukka Rask really continues to play the way he has in the last two games, that's what matters. You know, that's really what it's all about. The top line has been good. You've gotten secondary scoring. The defense has been great. But if your goaltender lets you down, then it doesn't matter who you're playing against. So I think they can make a deep playoff run. I think they're just as capable as any other team of upsetting Tampa if one team were to do that. I'm just not ready to put the mortgage on it right now. I think they're playing very well, and it's certainly a good for Bruins fans. I got a ton of them calling in last night after that game against the Binghamton Devils, by the way.
Oh God,
but you know, I mean, even
wretched club,
even still, like, that was, it's two games in a row now where they've looked very, very strong on the road, which has not been the case this year. So yeah, I feel good about them. I'm not sure I'm ready to pick them over the Lightning yet, though.
I'll put it to you this way, based on that last call who said, well, I've been mostly paying attention to the Celtics, I feel a hell of a lot better about the Bruins in their postseason chances than I do about the Celtics right now. Adam in Somerville with an NFL thought. Hey, Adam.
Oh, how you doing? Yeah, I'm on the overtime rules. I don't think on the NFL, I don't think they should change the overtime rules. They've been the same for a while. I like the fact that they changed it, that a field goal doesn't win it. The offense will have another chance. But I think this is only a discussion because of the fact that
Well, it was because, and I'm going to let you go on that, Adam. I'll finish your thought. It's because Kansas City felt like they got jobbed and they didn't get another chance to touch the ball in the AFC Championship game. Wah. Play defense, make a stop. I'm with Adam. I like that they changed it in 09 after the NFC Championship game where the Minnesota Vikings never got a chance to match the Saints. You have that horrendous pick by Brett Favre. They force overtime.
Yep.
Saints go down, kick the winning field goal. They go off to the Super Bowl, end up beating the Colts. It had to be changed there. I'm glad that they did. But that's it. Don't tinker with it anymore. Well, you're going to get your stars on the field. You have stars on defense. Make a stop. Make a stop. It's that simple.
Plus, you just had four quarters, you know, to see all your stars. You need to see them in the overtime, too. You're probably going to. I mean, it's not. I forget. I read the percentages of how often the team scores in the first possession. I don't think it's that much. So, at least not a touchdown.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to get a stop. You just have to keep them out of the end zone. You have to get them in field goal range, and then you get the ball. That's it. That's not asking a lot. And, you know, for the Chiefs to do it, that was the big problem.
Right.
Any other team in the league wants to come up with this proposal, then fine. Maybe you take a look at it. But the Chiefs, shut up, Chiefs.
Right.
Jesus.
Andy Reid's been around a long time. He's got a lot of good relationships with other coaches throughout the league. You couldn't have called your old underling, Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, and say, hey, can you come up with this rule change? Because them doing it, I'm with you. It looks so childish. Like, oh, well, it's such sour grapes. It really is. Mike in the car with a thought on Marcus Smart's ejection from the other night in the loss to Philly. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks, guys. I just hear about a bunch of stuff about Marcus Smart. And really, he did cost us that game, getting the crowd pumped up and everything after he got ejected. And everyone's saying he was trying to give us an edge. I don't understand what edge you're giving us. This isn't a hockey fight. You don't get to come back after 5 minutes. It's just sort of a real edge would be going 4-0 against a team that's going to finish above you in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion.
Yeah, McCone, apologize.
I don't know. I'd like to see a spark out of this team and see someone that actually, you know, like cares about and is passionate about basketball. And whether he goes over the line or not, I guess that's one thing. But I think it's funny that we, like, you know, we bow down to Jason Varitek because he goes after A-Rod and gets in a brawl there, or Danny Ainge starting a brawl in the 83 playoffs. And that's like, those are teams that cares. That's championship. That's championship basketball. That's championship baseball. But because this team sucks and they fall apart after Marcus Smart gets ejected, then it's a dumb move by Marcus Smart.
You know what, Arkand? I have yet to ask you about your thoughts on Mookie Betts and the fact that he essentially told the Red Sox to screw, and I'm going to go to free agency in a couple of years. I want to get your feelings on that, and we'll also update you on Chris Sale. We'll give you that story. That was the big news of the day, as Chris Sale has signed an extension with the Red Sox. We'll get to that coming up in our long commercial-free segment with more of your phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday. It's Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
All right. Welcome back. Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Kristen Arkand in for the guys. Tim McCone alongside as well, and you at 617-779-0985. So, Arkand, I don't know how you feel about Mookie Betts. Been with Jones the last few days, and Mookie Betts said Wednesday he expects to start the 2019 season without signing a contract extension. And this, just a day after you have Mike Trout sign this monster extension with the Anaheim Angels. LA Angels, whatever the hell you want to call them.
Right.
Relevant franchise for that bore. But still, he's worth the money in terms of the talent. I get it. But it's near $500 million. Betts, I think, is the 1B in terms of talent in Major League Baseball behind Trout. So this is, I think, a little concerning if you're a Red Sox fan. But how do you feel?
This isn't what Trout did, by the way. Trout signed one of those bridge extensions. He did. And it was, you know, about for what I think Alex Bregman just signed for, maybe a little bit more. But I look at Mookie Betts and think, yeah, you know, it's good to bet on yourself. I'm not going to get on a guy for doing that. And I think that's, you know, admirable and everything. But man, you know, Isaiah Thomas was just in town, right? Or the Celtics were out there playing. No, he was in town. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking about him in the Brinks truck and sort of all of that. And you might think you're in line for a big payday, but we're talking 2 years. You know how much stuff can happen in 2 years? There could be a massive market correction. There could be an injury. There could be all sorts of things. And, you know,
he could become Andrew McCutchen.
Or that, you know. I mean, he could have a drop-off in his production. He's only been in the league a couple of years, and he's had one down season, so it's not that crazy to even consider. So, you know, if I'm Mookie Betts and I'm that confident in, you know, my health and sort of everything else, great, but you know, betting on yourself, it's a reason it's called gambling, you know? Like, it's a gamble, it's a risk, and there's a lot of factors here that I think could lampoon this for Mookie, which is unfortunate. If I was advising him, which I'm obviously not and never will be, but if I was, I might have thought and said, hey, you know, you might want to consider this. You might want to consider one of these bridge extensions just for the time being. You know, you got 2 more years of arbitration, get a little bit of security, and then boom, cash in at 28 or 29, just like Trout did. You can get a big deal so long as these things keep going the way you expect it to. Why not get paid a little more on the way over?
I also think he's handled it the best way possible, in that it's like, okay, like you say, he's betting on himself, and there's not going to be any residual freak out, I think, from Red Sox fans or anyone that maybe feels like, well, he doesn't like it here, because he also said in some of the comments, and whether it's talking to Alex Speer or any of the other beat reporters over the last few days, in which he's, you know, talked about the fact he's not going to sign an extension for a few years, is he's talked up the city and he loves it here. So it has nothing to do with that. Whether or not he actually believes that or not, whatever. The perception is reality. So he's got that out there, and it covers that base too, so people don't really freak out. But your thoughts, if you want to talk about Mookie Betts and him saying to the Red Sox, no, I'll wait a few years, 617-779-0985. Pretty much anything is on the table, as I said. That's the theme of an agenda-free Friday. But Tony and Palmer wants to talk about this very thing. Hey, Tony.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Mookie, and I think that the Red Sox attitude during the course of the year was, who's going to win the batting title? I'm very happy for Betts' production. And I remember a guy used to play center field for us. He went to the Yankees, and I thank God they spent a lot of money on him, because it turned out he was a fluky, not a Mookie. So what nice. I'm saying is that if we take Mookie and we take charge of Mookie and we trade him up for a couple of chess pieces, now we've got something on the table. Maybe we got a pitcher or we got a couple of guys in the bullpen. If you're going to lose him anyway, no matter if he says he loves you, he wants to come back, he wants to build a stadium here, let him go, because he's going anyway. He's going, gone. Buy your sweatshirt now or burn it, whatever you want to do. But the thing is, Mookie's gone. Let's face it. Let's get something out of him so he can be happy. We can be happy.
All right.
We agree.
Tony, thanks for the call. I do like the he's a fluky, not a Mookie. You can make the Jacoby Ellsbury shirts with the 22 and have that little thing on there. There you go. It's a great idea. I don't know if it's a $1 million idea, but you get some money, put it on Etsy or whatever, get that money. I wouldn't. So if the Red Sox go to him with hypothetically speaking, if they went to him or in his agent right now and said, okay, here's $400 million. This is the extension. It's close to what Trout got because we believe in him that much. We think that he is the 1B to Mike Trout. If he said no, well, then, you know, he don't want to be here. You're not going to be able to sign him come, you know, 2020 or 2021 rather. So you should probably think about moving on from him now. If that was the case, Arcand, I still don't make that trade this year, because they are essentially returning the same team. Albeit with a seemingly shaky bullpen without a real closer, but it's essentially the same team. The American League's still down. They have a legitimate chance at repeating. I don't do it this year. Next year, though, I could be talked into trading Mookie.
Definitely Betts. Would think about it. And you know what else I just sort of realized could happen between this year and when Mookie's time is up here? How about the emergence of Andrew Benintendi? Don't think for a second that if Benintendi doesn't develop into a superstar, which he's kind of on his way to doing, that that's not going to make Mookie Betts, at least in the eyes of the Red Sox and their front office, seem a little bit not expendable, but certainly a guy that they can move on from, because, hey, we got this young stud right here behind you, and he can be the, you know, he can be the face of the franchise. And that would be tough on Red Sox fans, I think. But from an ownership perspective, you know, if Benintendi rakes and has a great season and, you know, continues to develop in this way, he's younger than Mookie, and that could factor into it too.
617-779-0985, like I said, is the number to join us here on an agenda-free Friday. The other big Red Sox news of the day is that Chris Sale and the Red Sox agreed to a contract extension. It is a 5-year deal worth $145 million. This was first reported by Jeff Passan. The deal adds to Sale's current contract, with the year remaining goes through 2024. He's going to turn 30. We know about the injury concerns. I don't know about issues. I don't know if that's the right term, but concerns. You know, there's been a breakdown here the last few years. Obviously, there was a big scare last year, but he didn't have to go under the knife. And your opening take today was that you think the timing's a little bit, you raised an eyebrow at this, because with Sale signing this now, you almost feel like it's like, well, I got to get it while the getting's good. And maybe that has to do with his, you know, physical makeup, and, you know, who knows what if he could break down. He's really the only one that knows what's going on with his body.
So, yes, like, you couldn't get that contract in front of him fast enough.
It's the opposite of Mookie Betts, right? I mean, it's the exact opposite. He's not betting on himself at all. He's taking the money, and fine, you know. You want the security over the big-time payday at the end of this next season, then I certainly get that. And everyone says, oh, Chris Sale's a different guy. You know, he doesn't need to be praised. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need that. Everyone likes to be praised, and I'm sure he likes to get money, too. This is a lot of money, $30 million a year, or a little bit less than that. I think it's $29 million. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to shake a stick at. That's fine. That's good money for him. But he could make more if he goes out there and has a big year and then, you know, comes to this next offseason. All you have to do is just look at these other guys and the deals that they've signed, and you have to assume Chris Sale would be up there. And I know there's other examples like Dallas Keuchel and Kimbrel of guys who haven't signed yet, but I feel like Sale has a lot on those guys. Like, Chris Sale versus Dallas Keuchel, I feel like, isn't even really a conversation when you talk about star power and just sort of the potential that Sale has. Sale is a top line, you know, top two starter in the majors when he's right. And this just sort of suggests to me that maybe he's not all that confident that he's going to be right. And, you know, okay, let's take this deal right now and forego the big payday, which I could potentially get in the open market, and we'll just stay here for $30 million, which I know sounds stupid to say that, but that could be, you know, that could be a pay cut for him. That's below market value, I think.
Considering where they're putting all their money in pitching right now with their frontline starters, obviously Sale today and then David Price and the money they gave Nathan Eovaldi, it does really prove to me that that's what they're focusing on more than anything.
Definitely.
Else, you know. So, Dustin and Ayer with a thought on the Mookie Betts contract situation. Hey, Dustin.
Yo. Yes. This is Jim Murray.
Yes, hi.
Hello, my first time on the air. Holy crap.
All right, it's not that exciting, but go ahead.
Oh, yes, it is. I've been trying for years. All right, so that the Mookie Betts contract, right? So Chris Sale just signed, right?
Mm-hmm.
For five years, 140. Why wouldn't Mookie Betts look at that for like 5 years or 4 years for 200, 250?
Well, and Dustin, I'm going to let you go on that because it's not the greatest phone connection, but appreciate you getting through for the first time. Well, the report from Jeff Passan just a few days ago was that they went to him last year, and it was 8 years at $200 million.
2017.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But look at the landscape and what these guys like your Manny Machados and Bryce Harpers and obviously Mike Trouts have signed for in recent weeks. It's kind of an underpay. So, no, Mookie Betts is right to bet on himself right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he has some sort of axe to grind against the team and he said the right things about the city. It's just he's betting on himself, and I'm not going to damn a guy for that. Just like Le'Veon Bell, while it blew up in his face last year and sitting out and he didn't take the franchise tag with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm never going to damn a guy for betting on himself like that, and it certainly has worked out for him with the deal he ended up getting with the New York Jets.
Yeah, that worked out well for him, certainly. We'll see if he can actually live up to that cut, because in football, they can just cut you.
Right.
You know, like in baseball, you get that contract, you got it. And Mike Trout's contract, there's no way out of that thing. I mean, there's no opt-outs, there's no team option, there's no player option, there's not. He is there for 12 years, and that's final. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
Well, Pablo Sandoval's proof of that. I think he's the fifth highest paid Red Sox player this coming season. And he's that big fat, so he's still trying to make the team in San Francisco. We have 1 hour to go here on an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Maz. Again, anything you'd like to discuss at this point. It's been a long week, and I still got another show to do tomorrow, so pretty much whatever. You can throw it against the wall here with me as I'm in the A-hole chair. It's Jim Murray along with Christian Arcand and Tim McCone, who's going to get you caught up in the latest in the NCAA tournament. The game's going on right now. Do we have some upsets brewing? There was a few, but here's McCone to get you with the latest on that. Also, the Chris Sale news, and then right to you here on Agenda-Free Friday with an hour to go on Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.